Phantom House. It's the place for podcasts.
From Philadelphia, PA, it's Avenue G.
Uno, dos, one, two, tres, cuatro.
A mythical, mirthful, musical place. It's groovy. It's grand. It transcends time and space, and it's a place where anything is possible. As always, you can visit our website, avenueg.net, to listen to any of our past shows. Joining us tonight is the always Argyle, Mac Jekyll, Martha, Queen of the Hobos, Michael, and Ed Feldman, strange visitor from the edge of credulity. I'm your cage-free announcer, Clive Thistlewit, and now, here's your host, a man who once lived inside a pumpkin, Jim Harris.
Hey! Hola, and welcome to our wonderful listeners across the Americas and around the world. And I'd like to thank Clive Thistlewit for filling in as our announcer on tonight's show. Our regular announcer, Andy Pettit, is out sick with laryngitis.
Jim?
Yes, Ed?
Actually, Andy got punched in the neck by Donald Trump.
Are you kidding me? How did that happen?
Well, Andy and I were walking through the park on our way to our weekly men's drum circle, and suddenly Trump jumped out of a tree and started throwing punches.
That's insane. Why would he do that?
Well, it's part of his new plan to personally punch every Mexican in America.
But you guys aren't Mexican.
Yeah, I know, but I think maybe it was because we were wearing serapes.
Well, that's just beyond belief.
Yeah, isn't it? But listen to this. I pulled out some of Trump's hair and sent it off to a forensic lab to find out how it got so orange.
Well, that might be interesting to find out, but we are not going to talk about politics tonight.
But Jim, the election's just around the corner.
I know, but nowadays all anybody ever jokes about is the presidential election.
But Jim, topical humor is one of the mainstays of American comedy. Jon Stewart established his career mocking George W. Bush. And who can forget Fatty Arbuckle's legendary imitation of Warren G. Harding?
That Fatty Arbuckle was one wild party animal. He got my grandmother pregnant in the backseat of a horseless carriage.
What's a horseless carriage?
As the name implies, it's a carriage that doesn't require a horse.
Well, it doesn't require a rhinoceros either, but they don't call it a rhinoless carriage.
Listen, I'm sorry, but I'm simply not going to allow our show to debase itself by constantly appealing to the lowest common denominator.
Can we appeal to the lowest common numerator?
No. No more political jokes. I am going to dedicate this show to addressing one of the most pressing issues of our time.
Fatty Arbuckle?
It will focus on restoring the endangered population of orangutans. Right now, there are dedicated people teaching young orphaned orangutans to climb trees and find food in the forest canopy. I even wrote a song about it.
That sounds lovely. Can I leave the room now?
I think I'll join Clive. Clive, wait up!
Arms are long, and they all love to play. Some people call them monkeys. That's just not okay. They're dying. Canopy.
Yeah, nice tune, Jim. As I recall, Fatty Arbuckle had an orangutan named Cynthia.
Jim, your song raises some important issues. Are you talking about the orangutans from Java or from Borneo?
Well, of course, I'm referring to the ones from... Who the hell is Fatty Arbuckle?
He was a silent film star, big fat guy with a tiny hat, comedy gold.
Hey, Jim, there's somebody in the green room who's waving at you. Shall I spray him with a fire extinguisher?
No need for that. It's my agent, Danny Kabuki. Danny, come on in. What's up?
Jimmy, I've got some good news and some bad news. What do you want to hear first?
Let's go with the good news.
Fantastic. You'll be happy to know that this afternoon, I will be playing a few hands of Pinochle with Meryl Streep's podiatrist. And you know what that means.
Meryl Streep has problems with her feet?
It means that I am out there making connections to promote your career, Jimmy Jam. You have to network to get work.
What's the bad news? And don't call me Jimmy Jam.
The bad news is your career is tanking. The ratings for your show are off the charts. And by that, I mean they're so low, they don't even make it onto the charts. According to the people at Nielsen's, the all-important 18 to 25-year-old beer-swelling demographic regard you as a pathetic loser.
Well, so what? Why should I cater to them?
Don't take it personally, Jim. That's just the nature of show business right now. If you want to save your show from being canceled, you're going to have to do some big hullabaloo about politics. Do a special live broadcast where you say terrible things about Donald Trump.
But everybody does that. There's nothing innovative or creative in getting a couple of cheap laughs just for saying the word Trump.
Stop it.
If you're tired of hearing people make fun of Trump, maybe you could dedicate a show to mocking Hillary Clinton. You could focus on her rise to power and how she had to struggle to make it in a male-dominated political culture where women were ignored.
Excuse me, Martha, I wasn't listening to you.
Oh, Jim, what if we do a show about Hillary Clinton? You could focus on her rise to power and how she had to struggle to make it in a male-dominated political culture where women were ignored.
That's actually a good idea, Clive. But how could we structure the show? Hillary has such a long political career.
We could put on a lush Broadway-style review, with each scene presenting a musical vignette based on the various stages of her life.
I got it. I see a lush Broadway-style review. Each scene presents a musical vignette based on the various stages of her life.
Ed, that's brilliant.
I could play the part of Hillary. I've even got a pantsuit. Well, I own a pair of pants.
Ed is not going to play the part of Hillary. I am the only female in the cast, so it's got to be me.
I'm sorry, Martha, you're right. You should play the part of Hillary.
Yeah, why not? We'll play the gender card. But if you do this, you have to go big. You need to find a well-known director to pull this thing off. Somebody like, who's that famous director guy? Did the movie...
I can do it. I have a master's of fine arts in stage direction from the University of Tuppence on the Wald in Malmesbury.
That sounds great. Clive, you've got the job. Now, if you'll all excuse me, I'm expecting an important phone call from Meatloaf's roofing contractor. Catch you later.
Well, okay, guys. It looks like we're going to have to put our noses to the grindstone and pull together a musical review on short notice. Does anybody know of a theater we could use?
I know. Over at Downton Abbey. The Cheesingtons have a beautiful theater, and I'm well acquainted with Lady Edith.
Great. Okay, so Clive, why don't you go over there and arrange for us to use the theater? Meanwhile, Martha can start working on the songs, and Ed, can you throw together a script?
Can I? Just watch me. Brilliant. I'm off to make arrangements with Lady Cheesington. Cheesington.
To start off the show, we'll need an aspirational song where Hillary's a little girl growing up in whatever state she grew up in.
That sounds good. How long will it take you to write the lyrics?
I just wrote them. Listen.
What does the future hold for me? A chance to succeed, to make history. The female lot. Mediocrity. What does the future hold for me? whatever state I live in, Delaware or Tennessee, won't limit my potential or dictate what I can be. Everything I long for, even those things I don't know, the person I'm becoming, the places I will go. Whatever state I live in, East Coast or Midwest, my father's occupation, the way I speak or dress, how much do they define me or shape my destiny? Is the chance to lead the country what the future holds for me? Whatever state I live in, Ohio or Vermont, does it predict the challenge that will motivate or daunt? Arkansas or Kansas, Oklahoma, Hawaii, does it really make a difference in what the future holds for me?
Whew, that was great, Martha. I really learned a lot about Hillary. I had no idea she was ever a little girl.
Time's a-wasting. Let's head over to the Abbey and get to work.
I think this is the door to the theater.
Oh, Clive, you naughty cad.
Oh, come on, Edie. Give us a kiss. Oh, Jim. Lady Cheesington and I were just working out the logistics.
Well, I must make my exit. Parting is such sweet sorrow and so on. Ta-ta!
Until the motto, fair lady, if not sooner.
Clive, listen, we already have the first few scenes written.
Then we shall begin rehearsing. Our first scene takes place when Hillary is a little girl. She is speaking with her grandmother, played by Ed.
Oh, little Hillary, it's almost your bedtime. Why don't you play with your dollies instead of sitting here reading the Harvard Journal of Constitutional Law?
But, Grammy, learning is fun. And if I learn enough, maybe one day I will help small businessmen like my father who makes drapery out of wallpaper. Or is it wallpaper out of drapery? I forget.
Well, book learning is mighty fine. But if you want to find a husband, you got to learn to be a good cook and a housekeeper. And that's how I landed your grandfather. He was drawn to my excellent domestic skills and of course, my beautiful singing voice.
But, Grammy, you don't have a beautiful voice anymore. Why, you sound like a middle-aged man from Northeast Philadelphia speaking in falsetto. Why is that?
Oh, it's a sad story. For you see, after I gave birth to your mother, your grandfather ran off to California and changed his name to Fatty Arbuckle. After that, I had to work so hard being both mother and father, it changed my voice.
But that's not fair. If I were president, I'd make sure there was a law that would provide a safety net to single mothers and a program to help them find jobs, financed by overtaxing the American public and administered by an inefficient, corrupt governmental agency.
Now, little Hillary, don't you get a big head. There will never be a lady president. For as Abraham Lincoln once said, a house divided cannot stand to have a woman in the White House. But enough chit-chat. It's time for me to tuck you into bed. Sweet dreams.
Good night, Grammy. It's too bad you lost your beautiful singing voice.
End scene. That was fabulous, people. I also have a few notes. Ed, I would like it if you sounded a little less feminine. Also, is there any way you could be a few inches taller? Martha, your left eye is blinking more than your right. They need to be synchronized.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing, too.
Jim, please, do not speak to the actors. I am the director here. In order for me to present my vision, I require complete creative control. Now, everybody, it's time for us to do the dream sequence. I've hired British stage actor Nigel Tweet-Pratt to join us. Nigel, please get on stage.
Thank you. Thank you so much for giving me this part. Why, this dingy little stage reminds me of my days back at the Old Vic Theater.
Hush, everyone. The scene begins with harp music, which plays as little Hillary Clinton falls into a deep sleep.
Why, what is that strange animal in my backyard? Golly gosh, it's a unicorn. And riding it is Abraham Lincoln. Good day, Mr. Lincoln.
And good day to you, Senator Hillary Clinton. I just had my stovepipe hat cleaned and waxed, so I thought I'd go out for a ride.
Your hat looks just wonderful. Why did you just call me Senator Hillary? And who is Clinton?
Oh, nuts. I really should keep my mouth shut. You know, I've been dead for a long time, and sometimes I just say goofy things. You should just ignore it, even though it is a harbinger of your destiny.
My destiny? What is my destiny? Tell me. Tell me now.
Oh, I'm screwing this whole thing up. I should just leave. This is the biggest blunder I made since I purchased Hawaii from the Russians.
Hawaii? But Alaska was bought from the Russians.
Oh, that's right. Sorry. I've got to go before I bollocks this thing up even more. Goodbye, Senator Clinton.
No. No, don't go away. I want to know my destiny.
And scene. That was fantastic. All right, everyone, the next scene takes place at Yale University in 1970. Hillary is at a party where she first meets Bill Clinton. Jim, you will play Bill.
Oh, great. Do I get to eat donuts?
No. Take a script and get up on stage. Now remember, you're all attending a college party in the 1970s.
Oh, hey, everybody. Let's all drink corn liquor and go for a joyride.
Yeah.
Hey, who wants to join me in smoking some weed from an enormous water pipe?
Well, yeah, sure I will, but I'm not going to inhale. I'm concerned about the pesticides used in Colombian marijuana cultivation. You know, Colombia urbanized rapidly in the 20th century, so that only 17% of the workforce were employed in agriculture, generating just 61% of GDP. Colombia is also known as an important global source of emeralds, with over 70% of cut flowers imported by
the
United States.
Who is that man over there who speaks so eloquently about free trade agreements? Of course. He would never speak to me. I'm just a humble daughter of a small businessman from whatever state it is I come from.
Well, excuse me there, Missy. I'm Bill Clinton from Arkansas.
Arkansas? Would that be the state ranked fourth nationally in softwood lumber production, whose economy still benefits from the mining of...
Bauxite? Say, what's your name? A few friends and I have started a study group, and I think you'd be a fine addition to it. You know, when we meet every Tuesday at the Leon Trotsky Coffee House.
My name is Hillary Rodham. Your study group sounds... interesting.
Hey, Bill, I just heard that Andy Warhol is skinny dipping in the Dean swimming pool with Bianca Jagger. Come on, we gotta go party with him.
Well, okay, be with you in just a sec. Miss Rodham, I look forward to seeing you on Thursday. If you'll excuse me, I have to go now.
If I'm free Thursday, I might stop by. What was your name again?
Clinton. Bill Clinton. Catch you later.
Clinton. Bill Clinton.
Could a name have such power that it makes the music fade? Who'd have guessed in half an hour what an impression could be made? I don't know what might lie in store, but suddenly I want much more. And I feel a thrill when I hear the name Bill. Law doesn't make much sense, but it's not as dull as tort. So this excitement and suspense doesn't have to do with court.
Wonderful song, Martha. I have one director's note. When you sing, I'd like for you to emit a high-pitched noise that only dogs can hear.
I'll work on it. How's this?
Perfecto. Now we move forward 20 years. Hillary has become First Lady. Although she has tried to pass a new healthcare law, she has failed miserably. As she sits outside the Oval Office, Vice President Al Gore stops by.
Hi, Hillary. Sorry to hear about your pathetic failure. These things happen to other people. Not me, though. I was born filthy rich.
Thank you for your kind words.
If you have any free time this week, you should stop by my office. I can show you a brand new invention on my brand new invention, the internet. It's called email. I can show you how it works.
No thanks. Why would I need to know about email?
Now, if you'll forgive me, I have a meeting with the POTUS. I'll catch you later on your downward slide to political oblivion.
POTUS. Why does Bill get to be POTUS and I'm stuck with being FLOTUS? Maybe because First Man of the U.S. doesn't make a good acronym. FOMOTUS. POTUS. OTUS.
Hillary!
What the? Why, it's the ghost of Abraham Lincoln again. What are you doing in the White House?
Where else should I be? It was in the White House that I made my greatest mark on American history.
Good point. Have you come to inspire me to keep on going, even though the road ahead will be tough and filled with sexist men?
Actually, I was looking for the ghost of Abigail Adams. I hear she's a real hottie. But I've got all eternity on my hands, so I'd be pleased to chat with you for a few minutes, Secretary of State Clinton.
Secretary of State Clinton? Why did you call me that?
Oh, brother, I really need to shut my trap.
Oh, Mr. Lincoln, I had a chance to reform health care for the nation, and I failed miserably. On top of that, it's pretty clear that part of it is because men don't like having a woman in charge.
Well, I can tell you that a lot of them didn't like having a gangly Kentucky bumpkin in charge either. But my great concern is not whether you have failed, but whether you were content with your failure. Bill can be challenging, that is true. So I give this advice to you. Pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and start all over again. Failure's unavoidable, it is clear. Why waste your time crying in your beer? Just pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and start all over again. When you've had all you can handle, that's when you can handle more. I had to read by candle, but I won the Civil War. You're more than the wife of a man of note. it could be you who wins the vote. If you take a deep breath, pick yourself up, and start all over again.
Gee, thanks, Mr. Lincoln.
Hillary, did I hear singing in here?
Yes, Al, but you can tell Tipper none of the lyrics were objectionable. You know, I was just thinking, the last few months have been really disappointing for me, but I sense that things are looking up.
So I guess you haven't heard the breaking news story about Bill and you know who.
What are you talking about?
It's all over the news network. Here, let me turn on this television and you can see for yourself.
Good evening. Tonight on CNN, we will be giving full team coverage to the sordid sexual affair that Bill Clinton has been having with his saucy young intern, Monica Lewinsky. For more on the story, we turn to Anderson Cooper, hiding in the bushes outside the White House.
Thank you, Wolfman. As you and the rest of America know, Bill Clinton has been caught having an affair with his intern, a young woman named Monica.
Excuse me, Anderson. We believe her name is Monica, not Monica.
Are you certain about that? Because my understanding was that her name was Monocle.
No, her name is not the name of a piece of glass that is worn over one eye. Her name is Monica, which is the name given to many female human beings.
Fascinating. I was not aware of that. I have some new details to report on the story. We have confirmed that Monica Lewinsky owns a blue dress, which was used to, I'm not sure how to say this.
Hold that thought. The president is entering the Oval Office to address the nation. President Clinton.
It comes down to the question of just what you mean by is. We Southern men are cursed with lots of charm. I might have taken liberties that each man wants as his. A sweet young girl like that can sure disarm. She never should have trusted Linda Tripp. Perhaps I shouldn't have let her unzip. Oh, I'm just a guy who can't say no. I'm not depraved, I'm just sick. Some folks are ruled by their ego. I am controlled by my wits. When other presidents have strayed, their indiscretions weren't put on display. When something confidential is betrayed, the court should really throw those tapes away. Oh, I cannot make myself veto. Bills of the womanly kind. I swear I admired her mind. This job can sure be a grind. I can't say no. Oh, what you gonna do when the intern is pretty and younger than 30? What you gonna do? Supposing that she calls sharing her booty her patriotic duty, what you gonna do? Supposing that she says that she needs to have a man and he's gotta be from Arkansas. You have to stand up for every Arkansan. It's the law. Oh, I hate to think that I'm a fool when courting the feminine vote. I know the lever they should pull if I'm who they want to promote. Oh, it's mighty lonely at the top. Opponents are forever setting traps. And every time I cannot stop, the Secret Service keeps things under wraps. Oh, I'm not some small politico, and this ain't no average mess. I'm under incredible stress. Why didn't I take off her dress? I can't say no. I did not have sex with that woman.
Bravo, Jim. Excellent job. I just have one director's note. In the future, try to perform with more talent. Now for the next scene, Nigel will play New York Senator Chuck Schumer, an educated middle-aged Jew who grew up in a working-class urban neighborhood.
I can play that part.
But Clive, why don't you have me play that part? I am an educated middle-aged Jew who grew up in a working-class urban neighborhood. True, but what I'm looking for is a gross stereotype, and I fear you may add an element of authenticity to the role that simply has no place in American entertainment. Now, our next scene takes place after George W. Bush has been elected president. Hillary is moving into her new home in Chappaqua, New York, when the doorbell rings.
Who is it?
It's Senator Chuck Schumer. I was in town opening a new library dedicated to housing government regulations designed to kill small businesses. I thought I'd stop by. I brought you a gift.
Is it a bribe?
No, not today, ma'am. I brought you a delicacy from a kosher bakery on the Lower East Side. It's babka dipped in schmaltz.
That sounds delish. And what exactly is schmaltz?
Schmaltz. It's clarified chicken fat. So, how are you staying busy these days?
Just puttering around. Things are pretty quiet around here.
Well, perhaps we could change that. Have you ever considered running for the vacant New York Senate seat?
Me? But I am not from New York. Why, I was born in whatever state I grew up in. I'm not a real New Yorker.
Hillary, being a New Yorker has nothing to do with where you were born. New York is more state of mind. You know, like Billy Joel said in his hit song,
Captain Jack?
Exactly. Anyone can become a New Yorker. Here, just repeat after me. Schmaltz.
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 You're getting it. Here, schmaltz. Put it all together.
Schmaltz.
I think you've got it. Now, one. Schmaltz.
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 Schmaltz!
Fabulous. Now, the next scene takes place just after Barack Obama has been elected president, and he's looking to mend fences with Hillary after a contentious primary season, and he's filling cabinet posts. Nigel, you will play the part of Obama. Let's begin.
Good afternoon, Hillary.
Mr. President.
Oh, come on now. If I'm going to call you Hillary, then surely you can call me Mr. Obama. Hillary, I couldn't have defeated John McCain without your support, and that means a lot to me. But I need your support going forward to help my administration accomplish as much as it can, despite the taint of the Great Recession and congressional millstone around its neck.
Well, Barack, what exactly do you have in mind?
Let me tell you in a little song.
Oh, oh, over, it's over. Campaign is finally through. Even though it's over, there's more work we have to do. Now that it's over, I'll need a cabinet. Now, wow, wow, that it's over, I've got a place for you. Come be my Secretary of
State,
Secretary so
great,
Secretary with
style,
Secretary of
wild,
Secretary with
fame,
Secretary, and plus you have a well-known name. And now that it's over, I'll be a friend to you. Now that it's over, you can be a winner too. Oh, oh, over and over, I said bad things about you. Over and over, you said bad things about me too. Over and over, you could travel the whole world wide. Now that the campaign is over, we can be on the same side. Come be my Secretary of State, Secretary so great, Secretary with style, Secretary a while, Secretary with fame, Secretary, and plus you have a well-known name. And now that it's over, oh, I'll be a friend to you. Now that it's over, you can be a winner too.
Thanks, everybody.
That was an inspiring number. And now it's time for the grand finale, the all-important third debate. Ed, you will play the part of Donald Trump. Nigel, you will play the role of Tom Brokaw, the debate moderator. Let's begin.
Good evening from the University of Nevada in Las Vegas, a town known for drunkenness, prostitution, and gambling away one's life savings. I'm Tom Brokaw, and I will be your host this evening for the third presidential debate between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump.
Yeehaw!
As a reminder, we ask that the audience refrain from applauding, chanting, firing weapons, or burning tires. We will begin with an opening statement. Mr. Trump, you won the coin toss, so you will go first.
It was rigged. The coin toss was complete, 100% fraudulent. When I'm president, Tom Brokaw will be jailed and beaten with a sack of doorknobs. Sad.
But you won the coin toss.
That's because I have stamina and a constant erection that is so fabulous.
Would you like to make an opening statement, or perhaps just spew out a jumbled word casserole?
Neither. I've composed a beautifully best song in the universe, which, I'm not saying it's divine, but you know it is. Now, all of you losers, shut up and listen. Factual reality just doesn't interest me. Such is the life that I lead. I've got a basket of deplorables. And with a basket of deplorables, one rabid follower a day is all I need. I'm biased, I confess. With myself, I'm quite impressed. Like everyone who's not blind. Such as that basket of deplorables. Fantastic basket of deplorables. They will elect me even though I'm out of my mind. Tens of thousands love me and everything that I say. And they repeat everything I tweet. They help me keep all the details at bay. Money, I'm making it, grabbing and raking it, and it's always tax-free. So what if some say that's deplorable? I've got a basket of deplorables, and they're deplorable enough to vote for me.
A chilling premonition of the tyranny to come. Secretary Clinton, would you like to give your opening comment?
Yes, Tom. And may I say to all of our wonderful Hispanic voters out there, me gustan los pingüinos que vuelan en el cielo a medianoche.
Lies, all lies.
As you know, my father was a middle-class small business owner who made wallpaper from draperies in whatever state I grew up in.
He was a Kenyan.
One thing that I learned from my father was, never give the nuclear codes to a groping pervert.
Wrong, totally wrong, disastrous.
I want this debate to focus on the economy and the middle class, not on all the women Donald drooled over when he was zooped up on cocaine.
Can I have a rebuttal? You let her speak for an extra 3 seconds. I see. It's 5-1. Lovely. Just great.
Mr. Trump, there are only 2 of us and you.
I see what's going on here. You're using math. I'm not saying math is a conspiracy, but you know, I'm saying it is. Which is not to say it is, but I think we all know what that means.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
If I may break in here, providing jobs to middle-class America is a most important issue. I want to be president of all Americans. A joiner, not a divider. A builder, not a...
Why is it that Secretary Clinton, if that even is her name, talks so funny? She says a president and a joiner, not a president and a joiner. Normal people don't talk that way.
You actually make a valid point there. Secretary Clinton, why do you talk that way?
Well, you know, Tom, when I was a little girl growing up in whatever state I grew
Wrong.
Up in...
Wrong. Lies. She was never a little girl because, you know, many, many people say she's a robot. An evil robot. I'm not saying she is, but she is. I demand that she pee into a cup right now.
I'm not sure robots actually urinate. I never saw a robot urinal in any of the Star Wars movies.
Which is why I will create middle-class jobs in urinal factories, and of course the supporting industries like urinal cake bakeries.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but I have just been given a tape of Mr. Trump on a live mic in 2009 with Billy Bush. Let's all listen to it.
I love puppy dogs.
Yeah, sure. Who doesn't love puppy dogs?
No, I love eating them. I bite off the heads, only the heads, and toss the rest out the window to frighten old people. The chicks, they love it.
Yeah, I bet they do. I'll start eating puppies tomorrow. You're so great. I want to give you my kidney. Please, say you're my friend.
Mr. Trump, how do you respond to that tape?
That's just locker room talk. Rudy Giuliani eats baby animals all the time.
If I may interrupt, I would just like to note that Donald Trump's poll numbers have just dropped by 68%, and Paul Ryan is currently burning a Trump-shaped effigy in the Capitol Rotunda.
Well, that does it. What say we just declare that Hillary is the president? All in favor, applaud now.
Oh, thank you. Thank you all so much. Thank you.
Hillary, Hillary.
Who is that?
It's me, Abe Lincoln.
Gosh, I'm feeling so dizzy and lightheaded.
Don't worry, Hillary. You're just experiencing the rush of power one gets from being president. You'll get used to it.
So, it's true? I've really won the election? I've finally achieved my ultimate destiny?
Everything will be fine, Hillary. And now I must leave. Theaters make me nervous. Enjoy your inaugural ball. Goodbye. And that's it for tonight's debate. Donald Trump has fled the theater and is now hiding up in a tree. Hey, everybody, what say we sing a song?
When you grow up in whatever state, you have what it takes to be great. Don't worry about what others say. You could be president someday. Who is gonna succeed Obama? Who will lead for the next 4 years? Who'll be after 44? It's time to move on. Time to move on. Gonna succeed Obama. Who will lead for the next 4 years? Who'll be after 44? It's time to move on. Time to move on. Here ends our tale of Hillary C. And our dreams about the presidency. We'll know if it's trans or comedy when next we meet on Avalugy. Who is gonna succeed Obama? Who will lead for the next 4 years? Who'll be after 44? It's time to move on.
Jim, I'm sure this production is going to boost our ratings.
That's great, but I'm a bit confused. At the end, why does Donald Trump climb a tree?
I can answer that. I was writing the script, and a letter arrived from the forensic lab that was testing the sample of Donald Trump's hair.
What were the results?
They did a DNA study and found out that Donald Trump's grandfather was none other than Fatty Arbuckle. Also, Trump's grandmother was an orangutan.
That would explain the orange hair and his ape-like sexual behavior. Come to think of it, that explains pretty much everything.
So, what you're saying is that Trump is descended from Fatty Arbuckle and his pet orangutan, Cynthia?
But if that's true, then Trump and Hillary are both the grandchildren of Fatty Arbuckle. That means Trump and Hillary are related.
Yeah.
That's just unbelievable.
Oh, my dear Jim, Avenue G is a place where anything is possible.
Let's go get some donuts.
Yeah!
Well, that's it for this edition of Avenue G. Tonight's show was genetically engineered by Mac Jekyll, Martha Michael, Jim Harris, and Ed Feldman. Check out all of our podcasts anytime online at avenue-g.net. I'm Clive Thistlewit, and if Hillary wins the election, remember, you heard it here first.
What if she loses?
Loses? Then we've got 4 more years of getting cheap laughs. Thanks for listening, everyone. Good night.